So picture this. You're in Florida, right? Hurricane warnings are all over the place. You're running around gathering supplies, tensions are high, and then bam, you see a post on social media saying the government's controlling the hurricane.
Oh man, talk about stressful, really.
Nice.
Like adding fuel to the fire.
Totally. And it gets even wilder because we're not just talking about random internet theories. This is Grant Cardone. We're talking about the Miami real estate guy.
Right. Miami New Times and Rolling Stone picked up on it. And that's actually what we're diving into today. This whole thing about misinformation around hurricanes like Helene and Milton, this idea of the government manipulating the weather. It's wild.
And Cardone's post really blew up questioning if they were messing with Hurricane Milton's path specifically.
And the thing is, he's not alone. And that's where it gets really interesting.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you've got Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene. She's known for promoting these kinds of theories,
Yeah,
right? And she's
yeah.
saying similar stuff about weather control, even suggesting there's a political agenda behind it.
Wow. So it's not just about one hurricane anymore. It seems like there's a whole trend of this happening.
It's like a pattern, right? And it makes you wonder why. Now, why are these theories, especially the ones about controlling the weather, gaining so much traction? Hurricanes aren't exactly a new thing.
Yeah, I mean, they're a fact of life in Florida and other places.
Exactly. But think about it. During a hurricane, people are on edge. They're scared. They feel powerless. And when you're facing something as massive and unpredictable as a hurricane, people crave an explanation, anything to make sense of the chaos.
So you're saying it's like grasping at straws, even if those straws lead to some pretty far-fetched explanations.
Exactly. And some of those explanations, even if they seem out there, offer a sense of control in a situation where people feel like they have none.
It's like if you can blame someone or something, it makes it feel less random, less terrifying.
Right. And then throw in all the political tension we've got going on, especially with the 2024 election just around the corner.
Oh, yeah, everything's already amplified.
It's like a recipe for disaster. Misinformation spreads like wildfire in that kind of environment. You've got fear, you've got uncertainty, and you've got people who are already inclined to believe the worst about those in power.
So, okay, we've got all these theories swirling around. What's the reality check here? How are actual meteorologists responding to these claims about hurricanes being steered by the government?
Well, you've got these respected meteorologists like Brian McNulty down in Miami, and he's basically like, nope.
Nope, that's it. Just nope.
Yeah, right. It sounds kind of funny, like overly simple, but McNulty's point comes down to looking at the history of hurricanes. I mean, he's saying that a Category 5 hurricane like Milton, yeah, it's a big deal, it's serious, but there's nothing really abnormal about the way it moved. Hurricanes have followed similar paths before, so that, nope. It's basically him saying, hey, just because something seems unusual or even unprecedented doesn't mean there's some big conspiracy behind it.
So it's about looking at the bigger picture, the historical context.
Exactly. And another meteorologist, Matthew Cappucci, he put it in a way that really stuck with me. He said, it's like not knowing how yogurt is made. Just because you don't understand the process doesn't mean there's something shady going on behind the scenes.
I like that analogy, but let's be real here. This isn't just about debunking theories for fun. What are the real-world consequences when people actually buy into this stuff?
Yeah, this is where it gets serious. The articles talk about how FEMA actually had to create a whole web page just to address hurricane misinformation.
Wow, a dedicated rumor response cage.
Right.
That's kind of scary, actually.
Right. That alone should tell you how big of a deal this is, how these rumors can really impact things. And the White House has even weighed in on this. They're saying they're worried that this kind of misinformation could literally have life or death consequences.
Oh, wow.
Because think about it, if people believe the government is intentionally causing harm, they're less likely to trust official warnings and might not evacuate when they should.
That's scary because in those situations, trusting the information coming from authorities could actually save your life.
Absolutely. And it's important to remember this isn't just a hurricane thing. Misinformation during any crisis, whether it's a natural disaster, a pandemic, any kind of emergency, it can be really damaging.
Since you're saying this goes way beyond just hurricanes and weather events.
Exactly. Think about other crises we've lived through. One myth that always seems to pop up is that looting always skyrockets after a hurricane.
Oh, yeah, I've definitely heard that one.
But it's interesting because studies have actually shown that crime often goes down after a hurricane. Communities often come together, they don't fall apart.
That's not what you'd expect.
Right. But this perception of widespread lawlessness, it creates fear and distrust, and that can actually hinder relief
Like a
efforts.
domino effect. Even seemingly small myths can have these huge consequences.
Exactly. And there are other examples too, like this idea that hotels are legally required to accept pets during evacuations.
Oh yeah, I've seen people sharing that online, like they're trying to help pet owners. Yeah.
And it comes from a good place, right? But spreading inaccurate information, even with good intentions, it just adds to the chaos and confusion. And especially when people are already vulnerable and looking for guidance, it's just a good reminder to be really careful about what we're sharing, especially during emergencies.
So we're dealing with this massive wave of information, especially during a hurricane. Things are crazy. You're glued to your phone trying to figure out what's real, what's not. Rumors are spreading left and right. How do we even begin to spot misinformation in all of this?
That's the big question, right? It's something we all struggle with, especially now with how fast things spread online. But I think a big part of it is really simple. It's about being more critical about what we see and hear, you know, not just accepting everything at face value, especially online.
Okay, so critical thinking makes sense. But when you're in a hurricane situation, every second feels important. You're stressed. You're just trying to stay safe. How do we actually put that into practice?
Yeah, no, you're right. It's definitely easier said than done when you're under pressure.
Yeah.
So think about it this way. Start with your sources. Like, who's actually giving you this information? Are you looking at those official channels like FEMA NOAA, the National Weather Service? Are you listening to meteorologists who actually, you know, have a good track record? Or is it just some random account on social media, chain message you got from who knows where?
So before we hit that share button, it's worth asking ourselves, hold on, where did I even hear this? Should I really be passing this along?
Exactly. And it's not always about cold, hard facts either. We got to remember the human element. Hurricanes are terrifying events. And when we're scared, we don't always think straight. Sometimes just wanting an explanation, even if it's a little out there, is just a natural reaction, you know?
It's that feeling of there has to be a reason for this.
Well,
even when deep down, you're not even sure if you believe it.
Absolutely. And, you know, even wanting to be helpful can backfire if we're not careful about what we share. We've all seen those posts online, you know, the ones that are well-intentioned, but they end up being totally wrong, like about shelters being open when they're not or organizations needing donations when they've actually got plenty.
Oh, man, those are the worst because you think you're helping, but you're actually making things more confusing.
Exactly. And it just shows how social media can be both a blessing and a curse. On one hand, platforms like TikTok, they can be lifesavers during a hurricane. People can share updates, warnings, connect with each other in real time. You get that firsthand look at what's actually happening on the ground.
It's like a direct line to the human impact.
Yeah.
You know, you're seeing it through the eyes of the people who are actually there.
Exactly. But on the flip side, these platforms can also be like a breeding ground for misinformation. It spreads so fast, and there's this real need for better ways to control what's being shared, especially during emergencies when lives are literally on the line.
Yeah, it's such a tough balance to strike because you want people to be able to share information freely, especially in a crisis, but not at the expense of safety, you know?
You're right. It's a really complex issue, and it's something we all need to think about. If misinformation takes root when we feel powerless, how can we fight back with accurate information? How can we support those affected by disasters in a way that truly helps and doesn't just add to the chaos? That's something we can all think about as we try to navigate this crazy world of information overload.
It's a lot to unpack, and it's definitely something to keep in mind the next time you're scrolling through your feed, especially when the stakes are high. Thanks for breaking all this down with me.
No problem. Always glad to chat about this stuff.
Yeah.